Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
I love the church. I know that isn't the most popular statement that I'll ever make. I know that the history of the church across the world and its present reality isn't entirely shrouded in glory. Like, I know that. I know at times the church has resolutely held the line when all others faltered. And I know at times it has turned its back on those it was called to serve. The church, I know, is both broken and beautiful. It is in parts redundant and in parts resplendent. But I love the church. I am the church. We are the church. The flesh and blood, stumbling and feeling, pressing forward, hands and feet of Jesus. I am the church. Its faults and feelings are mine. Its call to live in such a way as to make all things new is mine as well, is ours as well. I love the church. Not just the universal, you know, with a big C church, but this local expression of the family of God. I love it. I love BCV. Not because I'm paid to love it. Not because I think it's perfect. Believe me, I know we are far from perfect. I'm fully aware of the faults of BCV, probably more than most. Not because my journey with this community has been or is all joy and happiness, or even primarily easy. It hasn't been. But I love this church because it is my home. Close to 20 years ago now, I first came through the doors of BCV, and it felt, if I'm honest, very weird, completely different from my experiences of church up to that point, and not altogether comfortable. But it also felt strangely compelling. Something felt like it might be where I belonged. Something drew me back. Something called me beyond the uncomfortable and uncertain. And over the period of a couple of years, I reached a place where I decided, maybe even resolved, that this was to be home. It was definitely more than just a feeling or an emotion. It was an informed and conscious decision. And to be honest, at times, that resolution has been the only thing that's held me here. When it would have been easier to move on than to face the challenges in front of me, the decision to make this place home has made me face my own brokenness and the brokenness of others in this place who call it home as well, and to work through the pain and the difficult and the hurt things with Jesus. Choosing to make somewhere home is a powerful thing. It can also be a painful and a costly thing. It certainly runs a heck of a lot deeper than do we like the worship, or their kids' ministry is up to snuff, or what kind of coffee do they serve? Because this current moment has taught us that those externals aren't quite as certain and aren't quite as constant as we once thought. Home, you know, be it the place we live or the church community we commit to, is a powerful thing. It's an important thing. Home isn't simply something we find, but it's something that we help create. Right from the very beginning, God didn't create a perfect world and put humanity into it, but instead he gave us a taste of what home could be like in Eden, and then commissioned us as humanity to help create throughout the earth the kind of home we were made for. Look at Genesis 1, 27 to 28. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over every living creature that moves on the ground. We were not simply given home, but instead invited to partner with God in creating it. That's partly why I'm so excited about this series that Andy launched with us last week, as we explore together what it means to make this church community, or any other community for that matter, our home. We have the opportunity to become more like Jesus, more like he intended us to be, both as individuals and corporately. We are stepping into that mandate that was first given in Genesis to partner with God in the creation of home. Home isn't something we join. That's a club. Home is something that you help build, help create and grow, help tend to and steward. It's somewhere that you can both give and receive. Home is alive and dynamic and constantly on the move. Home is a place of belonging and rest, as well as a place of serving and sending. And over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to be delving into some of what it means to make a home in a local church community, and wider than that, in the family of God. And I want to simply at the start here reissue an invitation, or maybe even a challenge, to all of us to come back home, to come home, to choose a church family, be it this one or another one, and to make our home there and to press in. That isn't a guilt thing or a pressure thing, but an invitation. There is a longing, as Andy mentioned last week, in all of us for a home. And that has made this last season so doubly frustrating. So many of the intangible things that make church feel like home have been unavailable to us. And it's been painful. Or maybe it was painful in the beginning, and now we've kind of adjusted to a new normal, and it kind of feels a little comfortable. And we've got used to how things are. But as we come up out of this season of lockdown and COVID, as we reimagine this church home, physically and spiritually in the season ahead, we need you. We need you. We need each one of us bringing to the table what we carry, and in return, receiving the gifts that others bring. Home is what we create together. And it isn't just the same from a distance. We just can't do it without proximity to one another. So would you, over the coming weeks, prayerfully consider, what does it look like for you to come back home? To again decide to make this place home? That might be returning to in-person services. That might be joining a life group as they open it up, signing up for, you know, a service team as we begin to build those teams again, be that in prayer or welcome or worship and audio and visuals, or in kids ministry or youth or serving the poor or beyond. Where could you bring the gifts that you have to bless this community? Or it might just mean simply deciding for the first time to commit to this community as your home. If you, over the course of today or over the course of this season, feel a stirring from the Holy Spirit as you do that, as you pause and you consider that question, what does it mean for me to come home? If you have a nudge towards an action or a resolution, then I would love you to be brave and to drop me an email. Not that I want to keep tabs on you or to run a spreadsheet or keep checks or anything like that, or even to hold you to it. But I find personally, when I speak something out, or when I type it out, or when I tell someone else, I invite someone else into it, it becomes much more concrete. It vastly increases my likelihood of following through. And so if I can do that for you, I'm really happy to be that sounding board, to be that person that you speak it out to. You can drop me an email to alan@belfastcityvineyard.com. That would be a joy just to be praying for you as you commit to whatever it is that the Holy Spirit nudges you towards in this season. So why is home such a big deal? Why do we think it's so important to have a church community that we call home and to commit to and to invest there? Well, essentially, that's what we're going to spend the next few weeks looking at during this season. You know, all throughout the Bible, we see the language of community and belonging when referring to God's people, be it the family or the tribes or the nation language in the Old Testament, or just the multitude of different metaphors and similes that we see in the New Testament for those who are following Jesus. You know, being a branch that's grafted into a vine, a child adopted into a family, a living stone built into a growing building, a bride waiting for a groom, or a limb connected to and living and thriving with the whole body. We see again and again and again this idea that when we follow Jesus, it's a communal thing. We become an integral part of something that is bigger than ourselves. We're still individual and unique, but also somehow no longer just that. It's not just this, you know, postmodern notion of me and Jesus doing our thing together, coffee in hand, walking in nature and calling it church. That's great. And it's really important and a really good thing and definitely part of it. But being part of the family of God is much more than just our own personal experience. When we begin to follow Jesus, when we are grafted into that vine, when we become part of that family and adopted in, we in some way now belong to others. Others that we didn't choose. And they somehow, in some way, belong to us. And this idea of home, either a past or a present reality that you've experienced, or a longing for something that just isn't quite there yet, can be a really helpful way to think about how we exist in this new community of Jesus followers called the church. And just like a physical family home, there is lots going on in any healthy church home. And over the next few weeks, we're going to think about it in three broad categories. So firstly, home is a place where we are nurtured. It's where we learn so much of what we need for life. It's where we can rest and be cared for. It's where so much of our formation takes place, where values are passed down from generation to generation to generation. It's where we are healed and restored, and where we go more than anywhere else to remember who we are and what it is that we're made for. It should be a safe place to bring our doubts and our struggles, our faults and our failures, our griefs and our pains, and to have them held with care and attention. A good home should be a place of comfort and rest, of learning and wisdom and growth, of restoration and healing, of celebration and joy, and of permanency and a vision beyond ourselves. Home is never just about the current moment we are in and what we can get from it, but it's connected to what has gone before and is looking to the future, to what needs to be stewarded and passed on to those who come after us, what can be fought for now so that others can benefit in the future. It's a place of legacy. Home is the place where we are nurtured. Secondly, home is a place where we can bless others. A healthy home isn't just a building where our family lives, but a space of welcome and of hospitality. A place where those outside of our family, be it neighbors or friends or strangers, can experience all the things that I just mentioned before that we receive at home. It's a place where they can experience them too. It should be a place where we practice radical generosity, where we create the kind of environments where those who step through our doors come alive, where they feel safe and secure, where worries and burdens and stress drop off, where peace can be tangibly felt. Our homes can and should be sanctuaries for the hurting and broken, places of safety and comfort and rest for the grieving and the harassed, places of wisdom for the confused and the doubting, places of prayer and intercession for the communities around us and the nations at large. As we grow and mature, more and more our homes become places that we use and that we give away to bless others. So home is it's a place where we're nurtured. Home is a place where we bless others. And then thirdly, home is a place where we are launched from. It's a base, a location where we can go out from and into the rest of the world and return to again and again and again. It's a place that cheers us on as we go, that steadies us and centers us and sets us in the right direction and then propels us out. And at the very same time, it is a place we're tethered to, a place that won't let us drift out into the ether, but holds us firm like an anchor that supports and resources and encourages and strengthens and calls us back when we need to be called back, and holds us firm and recharges us to go again. Be that coming back from, you know, university at the weekend with full laundry bags and empty wallets to get recharged, or coming home from mission across the world to rest and to replenish an ascending church. A true home helps us live out rhythms of leaving and returning, leaving and returning, being sent out and called back in ever-changing ways as we grow and as we mature. And all three of these are so important. That nurturing, that blessing others, that being launched from and held to. Without them held in balance, or maybe better, a dynamic tension, we will drift into dysfunction. Either, you know, that introspective and self-obsessed, battening down the hatches and ignoring the world around us and making it just about us and our little club and our little huddle that is so dysfunctional. Or at the other extreme, we're cut loose and we're drifting, just blowing here and there and everywhere by any idea, by any thought, by any compelling vision, by any ism that comes across our path. You see, we need it all. And most of us will naturally tend in one direction. And over the course of this season, we might need some help and some courage to lean into the tension of health and wholeness, to find that dynamic place of balance in the midst of each of those bubbles of nurturing and blessing others and going out and coming back. I'd imagine some of us are scratching our heads right now and asking, is he talking about family households or a physical church building or this relational swirling community of all that is BCV? And the answer to that is yes, I am. It's all of the above and probably more. And as we journey through this series over the coming weeks, we really believe that God wants to call us into health in our own households, whatever your household looks like right now. He also wants to deepen and mature us as a church community in every area of our lives together. And he wants to prepare us to inhabit many physical spaces across the city and beyond, creating home for many who don't yet have it. So it's all of the above. So let me just be really clear. We do not think that BCV will be home for everyone or even everyone in Belfast. And we're not saying that we have always or do always get it right. In fact, far from it. We know we have much as a community to learn and to grow in. And we are full of faith that Jesus has so much for us as we humbly lean into being family together. This series isn't about us telling you how you need to be. It's about us together working out what does it mean, what does it look like to be the family of God in this city that he's placed us in this season and in this time that we're moving into. And we are super excited for all that that might entail. So that's where we are headed. I'm excited and hopefully you are too. But with the little time that we have left today, I just want to frame the rest of our series with this one thought. Let me just give you this. Homes and hotels are very different. Homes and hotels are very different. Laurie and I recently had the privilege of spending a couple of nights away in a lovely hotel in Cavan. It was so nice just to get away, to not have to worry about housework or cooking, to enjoy the luxury of a bigger, better furnished room and a pool and a spa, to have massive grounds with beautiful walks, to not have to worry about, you know, running the heat too much or thinking about the electric bills or even having to make the bed. To know that no one was going to call at our door in crisis or just in friendship to change our plans. It was an all too short retreat from normal life where we could just consume someone else's or lots of other people's hard work. It was great, but it wasn't home. It was a nice break, but despite how we felt at checkout, in all honesty, we wouldn't want to live there. Beyond the not being able to afford to live there, we would very quickly get bored and lonely. With no real purpose and no true deep relationships, we would very quickly tire of consuming and miss a true sense of belonging to and investing in the building of our home right here. We kind of all know that to instinctively be true. You know, a week being pampered in luxury sounds great. 2 weeks sounds like bliss, especially right now. Maybe we could even handle a month. But at some point, and I guess probably quicker than we think, the experience would grow stale. The cracks would begin to form. The false relationships and interactions with paid staff would irk us. And the lack of engaging with anything beyond our own wants would grow tired. We may likely start blaming the surroundings, critiquing the faults we didn't see at first, and demanding more from the staff, but the truth is we weren't made for hotels or a consumer mindset. We were made for home. We were made to commit to something bigger than ourselves, to invest in something, sacrifice and serve for something that will outlast us. We were made for home, but when we feel to think of church as home, without even realizing, we very easily frame it in the hotel camp, as a place we go once a week or even a couple of times a month to escape from the rest of our lives. And at first, it seems shiny and new and exciting. We love the worship. People seem welcoming. Our kids are thought of and catered for. There's vision and passion and programs, and God is moving and He's doing something, and it seems great. But the longer we stay, the more the shine starts to wear off. And I'm speaking from experience here. We begin to see the faults and the feelings that we didn't see at the beginning. We bump into other people's brokennesses, or they bump into ours. We begin to see things that just weren't there at the start. People leave or new people arrive. It isn't quite the same anymore. We don't like the new sermon series or the new building or whatever it is. And if we haven't made the decision for home, then we're automatically in that mindset like a hotel of the consumer culture of the world around us. And so the most natural thought in the world is to look for somewhere that better meets our needs. That just makes sense. If we're honest, we've probably all been there. But the truth is, home is not something we find or something we join. It's something that we help create. It requires us to have skin in the game, as they say. Just as there is no hotel in the world that we could be happy living in permanently, there is no perfect church out there that will satisfy all our wants and all our needs and all our desires and have it just the way we think it should be. This community, BCV, may not be the church home for you, and that's okay. It really, really is. But you desperately need somewhere that is home. We all do if we are to live the lives that we were made for. And the only way to do that is to prayerfully, intentionally pick a community and decide to make it home. To decide with Jesus and the leading of the Holy Spirit to commit to a place. Decide to move beyond consumption into belonging. to move from hotel to home, we have to lay down our wants and our desires, our rights and our entitlements, and choose to serve and to invest in others, to sacrifice and to give for something that is bigger than ourselves. And let me be very, very clear, that something isn't BCV. It isn't Andy and Harmony or their vision. It isn't worship as we do it here, or ministry to the poor, or prayer. It is always and only Jesus. In John 14, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his death, and he comforts them by saying he has to go and prepare what? Prepare a home for them, both for eternity when they die, but also for the here and now as the kingdom breaks in its new form with his death and resurrection. And Thomas, being Thomas, has doubts. John 14, verses 5 to 7. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? How do we know how to be at home with you?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus says knowing the Father, or being at home in his presence as we were made to live, is only possible through him. There is no other way. There is no shortcuts. There is no roundabouts. It's through him. We cannot have the home that we were made for. All the things that we're going to be talking about in this series, the benefits of having a place to call home, if we are unwilling to lay down our consumption and surrender our whole lives to Jesus. There is no other route into the family of God. There is no other route into the home that we were designed and made for. He is the way, the only way, to come home. Without placing Jesus at the center, as Mark Sayers puts it, we are trying to have the kingdom without the king. We're trying to have the benefits of the life that Jesus calls us to. We're trying to have the benefits of being a church family and being part of it without surrender to him, without him becoming our king. We want the benefits of a hotel without the cost of building home. Trying to consume the benefits of home without paying the cost, and it just will not work. It doesn't work at all. There isn't a way to make that work. In his book, After Doubt, A.J. Swoboda puts it this way: "The minute we replace Jesus with anything, whether justice, prayer, or whatever, we lose our way. Jesus is the center of the church, nothing else." Home is something that we create together as an ever-changing, ever-expanding community, only if we keep Jesus at the center. Only if we follow him into laying down our lives, laying down our rights, laying down our preferences and our comforts, and taking on the mantle of servants. It isn't easy. It doesn't sound like the most compelling sales pitch you've ever heard, I'd imagine. But it is the truth. There is no other way to find home, to build the home that we were made for, than to lay down our lives for one another and to follow King Jesus. The invitation to home is wide open, but it requires that decision to follow Jesus and to love what he loves. And he loves the church. Warts and all, he died for the church. He is returning for the church. His plan to redeem the whole of humanity is the church. And when we try to step outside of that, or we try to see that like a hotel to consume from, we're missing the life that Jesus called us to. We're missing the life that he offers. We're missing being at home. The invitation to find home here at BCV in this community is an invitation to serve, an invitation to give and to receive. And it is wide open if you want to come follow Jesus. That's where we're headed in the next few weeks. We are excited to unpack that together. We're excited to invite you into that. And as we close today, I want to simply pray that the Holy Spirit would nudge us and invite us home. So Holy Spirit, we say we need you. We love you. We long to walk in relationship with you. Would you come and would you speak to those places in our hearts where we have drifted towards consumerism, where we have critiqued home rather than helping create it? And would you call us, would you invite us, would you urge us into the life that you made us for? Would you give us courage and resolve to decide to make home in your presence and in your community? And would you take us by the hand in this season and fill us afresh? Come and have your way. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.